Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Phoning It In, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. With each broadcast, your hosts bring you the latest news and information from professional wrestling in Georgia and around the Southeast. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Phoning It In with your hosts Larry Goodman, Murder One, and Trent Van Dries.
We're back with Phoning It In right here on the GWH Radio Network. Of course, I am Trent Van Dries, and we have another big show lined up for you tonight. In our first hour tonight, we're going to be joined by Mr. Everybody Knows, Sean Schultz, along with his manager, Tony LoCascio. And these guys are going to be discussing trying to make a living as an independent wrestler in 2011, and what a rocky road that must be. I'm looking forward to that. Chicken Hat Charles will be along with a brand new commentary. And in our second hour tonight, we're going to be joined by a superstar of professional wrestling, former TNA, current Ring of Honor wrestler, also Urban Wrestling Federation, all kinds of different stuff. We're talking about Homicide will be joining us our second hour. That should be great, too. So let me turn it over to the man behind the switchboard, the Norcross Nordic man, the Norcross stock market crasher, Larry Goodman.
Nordic man, like that. I'm looking forward to both of these interviews tonight.
Larry, I pictured you in a Thor costume when he said that, Larry. Nordic.
Well, you know, they're still having it in the 40s in Chicago. I was just talking to my mom. You know, it's still halfway into winter up there. It's ridiculous, but
it's like 50 here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's good outside.
Yeah. Well, what a difference 2 weeks makes. 2 weeks ago, Murder One, you were on top of the world and NWA World Tag Team Champion, and now you're like the Tommy Rich of tag team wrestling. What the hell happened?
What the fuck? Are y'all really going to just roast me like that? If you're going to roast me, you give me the Price is Right music. You give me the bomb, bomb, bomb. You don't give me that damn shit.
How you doing?
I have no way, shape, or form. Tommy Rich, he held it for like, did he hold a title for like a day? Hey, but in my defense, we held the belts longer than Christian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, I don't, you know what? I was a world champion. How many people can say that?
And it's not Tommy Rich can say that.
It's not like I lost it to some bums, you know what I'm saying? I lost it to my brother.
Yeah.
So,
and you will forever be on the list of NWA World Tag Team Champions, whatever happens from here.
Thank you. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, hater-ass Trent.
Well, I got to ask you, what in the hell? I watched the new episode of Rampage Pro Wrestling. And what in the hell happened during that finish of the match where you actually won the titles? That
really
was.
As you can tell, it wasn't my fault or it wasn't James' fault. So who was left? Who was left in that equation? It wasn't my fault. It wasn't James' fault. Who was left?
Meatloaf?
The referee or the Hot Like Lava? It was Hot Like Lava's fault.
Nope, it was Meatloaf. That's all I'm going to say. Why are you trying to start trouble, Trent?
I just watched the match, and I was curious because when Chavis was getting pinned, he was carrying on a rather animated conversation is what I was looking at.
Yeah, who, with me?
Yeah, well, whoever was listening, yeah. So.
Yeah,
I don't think he was mad at you. I don't think it was that.
Oh, no, it was not that at all. We were just mad, and we did the right thing in by not slapping anybody. I did go outside and beat up the side of Johnny G's, though.
I did like the promo you guys cut backstage later. I thought that was actually pretty good stuff. So
when we were about to fight each other?
Yeah, that one, yep.
That's what niggas do. He got mad because we took the belt. He got in my face and got his title shot. He got his rematch. That's how you do.
I got another question for you, Murder One, since I'm in a troublemaking mode. Even though I'm not trying to cause trouble, I'm just curious. I'm just a curious white man. You know how it goes.
Yes.
I want to know, after reading Larry Goodman's report of the re-debut of NWA Anarchy in Cornelia, Georgia, Saturday night, why do you think the crowd died so badly?
Because they took 5 weeks off? I said that was going to happen, but they took 5 weeks off. That's why.
That ain't what I mean, though. Like, in the first hour, I read they were fairly lively. In the second hour of the taping, they tapered off badly. Do you have a theory or anything?
It was the booking. I don't know. Are you trying to get me in trouble with somebody? Are you trying to make me say something to offend somebody?
I'll say, because I did speculate that already in what I wrote, that it was the booking. It wasn't necessarily the match. It was just weird the way it just tailed off. But I do think the booking kind of killed the end of the show, and that's my opinion. But
and that's Larry's opinion. So now you already know somebody's mad right now because they just heard Larry say that. But for all we know, Anarchy might shut down now because Larry said that.
Yeah,
he's got the power to do that. You know that, don't you? He's got the power.
Yeah,
to do
I know.
That. Yeah.
And he said, "My
I got another question."
Yes.
Who was this reporter that took Larry Goodman's place at the Rampage show? Pretty interesting report. Larry, you've been replaced.
What reporter?
Somebody wrote up a guy named Daniel Lum wrote up a nice report on the Rampage table.
Yeah. He did.
Oh, that's some kid, man. Ain't nobody going to take his shit serious. I mean, you know, I'm glad he's doing it because he's a fan, but if I'm not getting shitted on by Larry Goodman, it don't matter.
Well, he did a nice job.
He did. He really did a nice job, Mr. Lum.
You should take him under your wing and groom him, Larry.
I'll give him some pointers the next time I'm down there. Yeah. Hey, we got a caller on the line, but before we get to him, a couple other news items. Of course, they had the National Fairgrounds Tribute Volume 2 and drew somewhere between the official number that I was given was 800 for the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express on top.
Oh.
The Condrey Eaton version.
Condrey Eaton version. Oh, never mind. But I'm glad I didn't know about it. Never mind. Condrey Eaton version.
Trent, you were saying the OVW Saturday Night Special drew a sellout or close to it for their big show.
They sure did. OVW claiming a sellout. I heard it was not quite a sellout, but close. OVW, you got to give those guys credit. They're clicking on good cylinders right now without Jim Cornette. Somehow this past week in Louisville, Kentucky, on the NBC affiliate and on the Fox affiliate, they managed to run wrestling angles on two major networks during news programs last week. Actual, not just guys appearing and plugging a show. I'm talking they ran two wrestling angles, one on NBC and one on Fox in the same week. And I don't think I've ever seen that. So OVW and their stories are going to – what's that?
No, I'm just saying this is a hot promotion. This promotion for an indie promotion is on fire right now. And we got the links up there at George Wrestling History in the message board. Excuse me, the news board, and it's worth checking out their TV show, which is very well done. If you can listen to Kenny Bolin on commentary, you're going to be entertained. Check it out if you haven't.
Yeah, I mean, like I live here, so maybe I feel like I favor them a little bit, but man, they do a hell of a good job. What can you say?
Go ahead.
I got something to say. And Larry, you can back me up on it because I know that you got the email. Trent, Doc came looking for you in Louisville.
Yeah, I want to talk about that too. Yeah, Doc
he was gone.
World-renowned eye surgeon, professional. The man's been all over the world, and he's going to call me out on Facebook and want to put the cross face on me. Let me tell you something else about Dr. Gayton, Murder One. I watched that Rampage episode.
Let me tell you something about it. He came to your town looking for you.
He didn't look very hard because he sure as hell didn't find me.
You were probably hiding under Minnie Pearl's dress.
What's wrong with that? Many men have wanted to do that.
Isn't she like 5,000? But anyway, the fact of the matter is he came looking for you.
He didn't find me. The fact of the matter is
he did not find you because you were hiding.
I was not hiding.
It's okay, Trent. You still my man. 50 grand and all. You still my man. But, you know.
Let me tell you something about Doc Gayton real quick. After watching the new Rampage episode I was talking about, not only did I retire Dr. Gayton and knock him out of pro wrestling, but in his last match, he actually demonstrated something resembling work rate. I take credit for that, too. I got him out of his lazy mode. He actually took bumps. He actually took initiative. He actually had a halfway decent match by his standards, and I'm taking credit for that, too. I pulled Doc Gayton out of his shell so he could go where he belongs, back into the cave, back into the wheelchair, back into the nursing home, but at least he went out with a hurrah. Thank you, Doc.
This is Trent. Trent Van Dries is admitting that Johnny Gayton had a halfway decent match.
That's what I'm
on
saying,
his last match.
Yes.
I'm taking credit for it.
He left it in the ring.
Yes, he did.
But he's
Harry Code 706, you're on Phoning It In.
Well, it's been a long time since I wanted to call in and then say hello, and I miss Trent Van Dries.
Dan, how are you?
I'm good, man. A couple of quick things, if you guys got time for it. One, what are your thoughts on the attendance for the fairgrounds this time around? A cut in half, I think.
Yeah, cut in half because the last time they had 1,700, so yeah, it would be half this time. You're right, but hell, anytime you draw 800 people in an indie show, you know that's good.
And they're coming back with Jerry Lawler on top with Dutch Mantel. What do you think that'll do?
On August 20th, Jerry Lawler, they're going back to the Jerry Lawler well. Well, he came in January, and this is August, so it's 8 months later. Marcus Pastorius, who runs the shows, he obviously is a hard-working guy. This past time, I guess they weren't on TV like they were the first time, you know, the new shows, but I guess he postered the living hell out of Nashville with posters. So he works hard, so I can see him doing in the same range they did this Saturday night. I surely could see that, couldn't you?
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah,
cool. Good stuff.
Hey,
also,
since we got you on the line, Mr. Masters, I wonder what your thoughts are on the return of Georgia Championship Wrestling, having now scheduled not one, not two, but three shows, including one in Dr. Gayton's neck of the woods there in Macon. What are your thoughts on this return?
My thoughts, now this is exclusive to Phoning It In because I'm a big fan of Trent Van Dries as well as Murder One. Larry, you know, we got our differences. But I think the return of Georgia Championship Wrestling is going to be huge, explosive, and I'll tell you why. It's because the black ball that has been there for so many years has been lifted. My return to the Georgia wrestling scene will happen with GCW, not only on June 11th in America's Georgia with the Sumter County Recreation Department, but when I return to the Great 8 Skateplex, what's Diane Hughes going to do when I show up June 30th in Columbus, Phoenix City, at the Great 8 Skateplex for a big night of GCW wrestling?
Why are they going to be Georgia Championship wrestling and then wrestling Alabama? That kind of, like, defeats the purpose. I just caught on to that. But I'm glad they're doing something. But that
Georgia
kind of
Championship Wrestling, way back when, ran a lot of shows outside of the state of Georgia.
Okay, well, thank you, historian.
It's going to be a pretty cool deal. I don't know. Abdullah the Butcher from WWE's Hall of Fame and the international scene is going to be a part of it. Ricky Morton's going to be back in Columbus. Joel Deaton, the exotic ones. I'm a big fan of them. Micah Taylor, Johnny Swinger there at the Great Eight Skateflex in Phoenix City. That's June 30th. But, yeah, you were talking about Macon, and I think that's going to be pretty explosive as well on the 23rd. You've got the lineup at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, so there's no need to go into that. But it should get interesting. It's going to be at the Anderson Conference Center there off Eisenhower Parkway.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how these shows draw. They're bringing in some interesting names, that's for sure. So we'll see how this goes. Hey, we've got to get to Mr. Chickenhead Charles. He's in the green room just itching
And later on you guys discuss it if possible. Michael Hayes returning as a manager, and the word out there that Arn Anderson may also be appearing on WWE TV in the managerial role in the future. So,
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
I know you're good at finding people and doing, you know, investigating things. I need you to get a message to somebody.
Okay.
I need you to find Deep Throat and tell him to come back on the show.
You know, I listen to you. I don't get a chance to do the live thing because I work at my radio station weeknights 7 to 12, 923thepoint.com. That's 923thepoint.com. I'm on the air till midnight. But I do listen to the archive, and I have heard all the shows in the past, and I will research around. I don't know who that is, but
I was going to mention, Murder, that I did hear from Deep Throat, and he is working on a story.
Okay, so Larry, can you – it sounds a little bit – now, I don't want to get stuff started here if I get ready to get off the line, but it sounds a lot like Nigel Sherrod to me.
Oh.
I can verify that it's not Nigel Sherrod. I can tell you it's not Nigel Sherrod.
Everyone, and look, Larry, the way you answered that tells me you know who it is. It must be.
Somebody,
I got to go. I'm on the air here. See ya.
All right. Somebody told me it was Tito Santana.
I just want to mention real quick, since you mentioned Deep Throat, our friend Brian Trammell, who came on the show and Deep Throat insulted him, he's now decided to close down his website.
I'm going to miss that site, too. He had a hell of a site there.
He really did. Carry on. But I'm not saying Deep Throat was the catalyst. I'm just saying, you know, he's out of business.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Talk one up with the team.
Oh,
there it is.
Hello, wrestling fans. This is Chickenhead Charles, and this is the bottom line. Are you finished?
Okay.
Now, this week I'd like to talk to you about two different subjects, wrestling and non-bullying. Recently, the WWE has teamed up with some organization, which is called Be a Star, which promotes anti-bullying. Now, the issue I have with that is the plain simple fact that pro wrestling has this image of bullying.
Sure.
Yes, such examples are Michael Cole's recent rantings and ravings, which I was an unfortunate attendant of this past Tuesday at SmackDown.
Well, my.
And that, of course, is behind Jerry Lawler. Another would be, the core of SmackDown and the new Nexus, which is run by CM Punk and Wade Barrett, respectively. Well, no, not the together, but you get the point. Well, anyway, my issue is why in the world would the wrestling community be responsible for trying to promote anti-bullying, given the fact that, well, wrestling is known for bullying? It kind of makes it hypocritical, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. Now, I'm not against the WWE or TNA, which did an earlier version of that sort of thing, trying to do noble causes. However, in this case, I think the cause between wrestling itself and anti-bullying just doesn't mix, kind of like oil and water.
Or cocaine and waffles.
What?
Cocaine and waffles.
No. I said oil and water. It just doesn't.
I know, and I'm just going along with you, peanut butter and ladies. I understand.
He's amplifying your point.
Thank you. So what I'm saying is this. while I do applaud WWE for trying to be in the cause of everything, their Make-A-Wish, their accompaniment with Make-A-Wish is fine. However, this thing with anti-bullying, no, just doesn't do it for me. It sounds kind of hypocritical. Well, okay, I guess that's about all I have to say. I'm a little nervous.
You know what? Don't be nervous, wrestling god. Don't be nervous.
Don't be nervous. That's
you're on fire, man.
Well, thank you.
You on fire. I enjoyed that one too, because you know I don't see. I mean, wrestling and bullying and that.
Well, it's a campaign for anti-bullying.
I
find it very hypocritical, considering pro wrestling's little image of bullying amongst wrestlers.
Pro wrestling is about bullying. That's what it's about. You're exactly right,
yeah.
Charles.
I think it's trying a noble cause. I just don't think it's for pro wrestling.
They
ought to try something that's a lot less hypocritical, like their thing with Make-A-Wish. I don't find that hypocritical. I find that wonderful, really.
Charles, the phoning in crew is in complete agreement with you. Your logic is supreme.
Well, thank you.
I think the reason it is, though, Charles, is WWE is like really pro Hollywood. They want to be in with the Hollywood crowd, and Hollywood is like very anti-bullying. So I think that's my theory is that's why they're going along with this right now. Just try to fit
in
Hollywood a little bit.
Well, TNA tried that sort of thing a couple of months back. I think the cause was called Erase the Hate.
Yeah, remember that. Yep.
Which I thought was pretty hypocritical, too.
Erase the Hate. Yeah, if everybody loved each other, there would be no pro wrestling. That's for damn sure. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Charles, did you go to the fairgrounds Saturday night?
Oh, yes, I did. But
what'd you think?
I only managed. I think it was really wild. One of my biggest shocks, this was during the match with Brian Christopher, Kevin White, and I can't remember who the other dude was.
I think it was Boogie,
wasn't
it? It was Gary
Valiant.
Yeah, it was Boogie Woogie. He teamed up with Brian Christopher. Oh, yeah. It was Tommy Wildfire Rich and Dangerous Doug Gilbert. No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That was another one. They did have Wolfie D and but there was Kevin White. Oh, now I remember. It's Chris Hamrick, and it was supposed to be Brian Christopher, Kevin White. Unfortunately, Kevin White did the heel turn and turned against his partner. And in his place was Boogie Woogie Boy, and boy, did they clean up the place. And, of course, the match I was talking about earlier, that was pretty good. Wolfie D, Road Dog, and Wildfire, they all went practically everywhere. It was just like USWA back in the day, where all main events usually took place.
Well, thanks for the show review, too.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Get your style offline.
Okay.
If we got just one second, how was the SmackDown taping? Did you enjoy that, too?
Oh, yeah. However, I love the SmackDown taping. It was pretty good. However, one element that I found unnecessary was NXT. Why do they continue that? I mean, they don't even promote it on their shows anymore.
No.
And the most shocking one, they had a taping segment for WWE Superstars, which kind of puzzles me. I mean, WGN canceled that show about a month ago.
Well, the thing is, Superstars at NXT is available now on the Internet only is what it is.
Ah, yeah. I kind of suspected that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
thanks a lot, Charles.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Charles. Thank you.
And hey, Earth, stay classy.
There you go, my boy.
There you go.
Awesome. There you go, my boy.
Awesome.
He's got it down, man.
Charles. Yes, he does. I'm so proud of you, Charles.
He's doing good. He's doing good.
You're a welcome addition to the show.
We're joined now by one of Tennessee's finest independent wrestlers, Mr. Everybody Knows Sean Schultz, and the performance enhancer at Sean Schultz Enterprises.
Oh, my God.
Tony Lucasio. Welcome to Tony. Get in, guys.
Guys, how can you guys have us follow chicken hat, man? Come on. How are we supposed to live up to that?
It's hard to do.
Jesus.
I can't let y'all come on here and badmouth my dude now.
I'm just saying, we can't follow that.
Okay.
Come on, man. How are we supposed to follow that?
You can't follow it. I mean, he blew it up. This is the second time in a row he's come and done his thing.
I love how Chicken Hat would say something very directly and then say, you know what I'm saying.
He's feeling it.
Hey, Trent, you want to kick this interview off?
Oh, go ahead, Larry. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, well, I'm curious how the original association between you two guys came to be.
We're both stupid.
We're both stupid. Actually, when I when I moved to Knoxville, I moved from Ohio to the South for many reasons, but I also decided I was going to get into the business. And then when I was training in the ring one day, because I think all managers should train in the ring, but that's another discussion, I met Sean there in the ring, and all the guys there, I mean, a lot of them were cool guys, but Sean looked, he was the most in shape. You could tell when somebody walks, Murder, you know this, when a guy walks if he can work or not. You know what I mean? And so I thought he was somebody. So he was trying to show us some stuff. And we were both, he was a heat seeker at the time, and I am normally, so we just hit it off, I guess, because we're both retarded. I guess that's about it, right?
Yeah, then we went to the bar that night, and you kept asking everybody, they watched tea at night.
Yeah, that's right. I was telling those chicks, you don't have cable television, trying to hook you guys up. And it worked, but that's another discussion, too. We're all married now. But, yeah, and then later on I wanted to get on the road and stuff, so I jumped in the car with Sean and just clicked or whatever. And, like, you know, the ring entrance we do, when we do all those nicknames and everything, we did that one night to pop each other, and I got a reaction, so we just kept doing it, especially because when our schedule's up and we're going 4 or 5 days a week, we travel to a lot of places that we've never been to before, or we're not there all the time. So usually that entrance, and we immediately already have our heat, and that, you know, just makes it easier.
So walk us through, you know, one of the things we really wanted to focus on was the whole business of making a living as an independent pro wrestler in 2011, all the hazards, trials, and tribulations, et cetera. Walk us through what it's like, what a week's like for you guys, a typical week.
Well, fair to be starving, yeah, and good fucking luck. And I can say fucking, right? Can I say fucking?
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay, fucking luck, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard. Yeah, it's insanely hard, but, I mean, you know, look, we depend on gimmicks a lot of times, and you know, being heels, it's hard to do the gimmick thing and all that. But I mean, like Tony said there for a while, two summers ago, we were doing 6 days a week. We started on Tuesdays in Knoxville, and Wednesday we'd be in Pigeon Forge, Thursday we'd be in Nashville, Friday, Saturday at Barry, and Sundays we were in Warner Robins for a while there at Rampage. And so, I mean, we never had an off day, and we, the dumbasses we are, we would book ourselves in Chicago one day and be at the tip of Florida the next, you know, just ridiculous hours in the cars. Like Tony said, a lot of the shit we do in the ring, a lot of the stuff we say is just stuff that we thought was funny. So we're
yeah,
like, oh, we
that,
do
that was
that.
A real
just
loop. That was a real loop we actually did one time. We did a Knoxville on Tuesday, and I think we didn't do anything that Wednesday. And then, like, Thursday we were in Nashville. Then I had to come back to Knoxville to get the rental, because I'm such a brain surgeon that that's where I got it from. And then me and Sawyer went to Columbus, Georgia. Sean, you went somewhere. And then we met back up at like 4 a.m. and drove to Chicago, and then came back and was considering trying to hit some fucking Sunday show.
Yeah, I was in Kansas with Jerry. I was in Kansas.
Yeah, right.
Middle of fucking Chicago.
Yeah, because we're, you know, I mean, who books that shit? We did. But
we were trying to find someone to blame the whole time. We're like, who booked this? We're like, each other.
Right. So, you know, But, you become tight with the guys you're in the car with because you're in there all the time. You know what I mean? And then you find ways to cut corners on certain shit and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
it is very difficult.
A lot of funny young kids that want to get on shows. They're like, come on, man, you got a car, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah, that happens too. They want to get out. You're like, hey, you didn't drive? You know, but, you know, and I'll pick up, like, odd jobs. See, I'm like the odd job master because I was in direct sales for, like, 8 years. So I can, I've done everything from, you know, deliver phone books to whatever. You know what I mean? It's difficult sometimes. And I think that a lot of people who think that you can only make a living off pro wrestling in 2011, the way the business is set up now, I think it's very unrealistic. And I think it's funny that some people will say, well, that guy's not a real wrestler because they have a day job. Well, when I played in bands, and I have friends who played in bands and now they make a living in the music industry, producing or whatever, they worked at day jobs and nobody ever said they weren't a musician. You know what I mean?
Right.
A starving musician, indie pro wrestler, aspiring model, struggling actor are all the same fucking things. You're just at the lowest level of the food chain. So, but, I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
But if you're like an indie manager, like what is your goal? Because I mean, I know right now they finally got Michael Hayes managing a little bit on SmackDown. But as an indie manager, what would your dangling carrot be to make money in professional wrestling?
Yeah, well, it's indies. It's very difficult. But actually, you know, when I got in, there was still a lot being utilized on television, a lot, especially in TNA. It seemed like everybody had one. And at some point, somebody's going to say, okay, enough of this guy struggling through the fucking promo. Just give him somebody to talk for him. You know, because some guys are good in the ring but can't cut a promo to save their life. It's just terrible. It sounds like the way I'm talking right now, except they're nodding their head up and down. I don't know why. And that happens, and it's here and there. For me, it's hit and miss. There's no tryout camps that I can pay for, which are really, you know, I still think they're moneymakers to pay somebody's light bill, but... You know, a lot of the times, there's none of that stuff. It's just you have to be there. Somebody has to know you're there and say, we need this person in this position now. But at the same time, I went to broadcasting school. When I broke in, I would train in the ring. I'd manage on this show. I'd call matches on this show. I'd ring announce at this show. I'd ring announce at Rampage. So, you know, I don't care what the job is. I don't care if I was the guy in the back who said, here's your promo. Say, okay, now say it back like you give a shit. You know, like, I don't care. I just wanted a job in the industry. It didn't matter. So, you know, it's just whatever. And if I didn't really make any money, well, at least I did it, and, you know, I'll just move on to some other, you know, con. You know,
It's gaining a lot of valuable life experience, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun. And I had a lot of life experience prior to that. I'm glad that I'm clean now. I got all the partying out of my system, so at least I remember these memories. You know, and we've had a lot of good times on the road. And, you know, being in the car with, you know, when Sean and I would travel with Travis Sawyer, I mean, we can have spend a whole segment on that guy. I mean, because me and Sean will get,
Travis is the quintessential redneck, you know, and we would get slap happy. And Travis would never get slap happy. We'd be 6 hours on the road and we'd be laughing at, you know, stupid shit like turn right and shit like that. And Travis would be like, neither one of you said anything funny for the last 5 fucking hours. I hate you both. You know, and like threatening to kick my ass and, you know, tell me you don't love me anymore. He's going to beat my ass one day you're going to forget, you know, and say my big blue eyes ain't going to get me out of trouble this time and shit like that. You know, and then it gets to the point, you know, it'd be 9 hours in the trip and me and Tony wouldn't be laughing at anything. We'd just be exhausted. Travis would say something that was actually funny, but we're too tired to laugh. And he'd look back like, oh, now you can't even laugh at my fucking shit, can you, you couple of fucking cocksuckers?
Yeah, because who he was, his character was really who he really was. And, you know, we were in a locker room one time. We were in, I think it was Bert's locker room. And this one guy was in there and he's like, I want to think, you know, it was like the end of the year, and we were just hanging out, and like, you know, dude was like, I just want to think Bert mad for, let me, he goes, oh, shut the fuck up, you fat son of a bitch, you know what I mean, there's no, you're not going to say anything inspiring in this fucking locker room, not with that guy sitting there, you know what I mean, so we always had good times with him, or with Jerry Lynn, who doesn't remember talking to the person he just talked to for 2 hours, and, you know, are you ready to go, you were just on a date with that guy, who, when, you know, the guy just talked to for 2 hours, where, you know, and,
Tommy Rich getting all of her names wrong and taking him home and shit.
Oh yeah,
I got a funny Rampage story there. We're
stuck in
fucking
a car with Tommy Rich for fucking 2 days.
Of course, I'm running late to meet them in Chattanooga, and Siggy's even later than me. And we finally get there, and I'm gonna cut a lot of it short. But, you know, Jesus Christ, fuck, all that shit happened. But we called Mike Taylor and let him know we're gonna be late for Rampage, And to just let you know how much he was not listening to what we were saying, we said, "Hey, Mike, we're going to be late. We got to drop Tommy Rich off at this gas station." And he said, "Yeah, I figured." How the fuck do you figure we're dropping Tommy Rich off at the gas station? If I said, "Hey, Mike Taylor, I got to drop Barbarian off at the florist," would he been like, "Yeah, I figured"? Like, come on, man.
That's right. We had to drop Travis off at TNA so he could sing the national anthem. That's cool. All right.
Figured. Come on. You didn't figure shit. You
were a lot of good times, but it is difficult. But you know, I do get paid, and sometimes my boys have to look out for me and throw it to me or whatever. But go ahead.
Let me ask you. I know you guys are both married, don't want to cause any trouble, but like back in the territorial days, rats were like used, you know, as economic reasons, places to stay.
Yeah, I've been there, done that,
right?
Man. I'm married now. Fuck, I don't want to get my dick chopped off.
Yeah, me neither.
I lived off that for fucking 5.5 years, man. I lived with fucking 4 different women in like a fucking 4 years times. Everybody I met, I was like, "Hey, how you doing? Need a roommate?" And fucking, you know, there it was.
Now we'll get hung by our toes.
Eventually.
Yeah, now we'll get hung by our toes too. You know, they're both pretty.
Both of our wives are kind of crazy, so especially Tony's.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, insane.
So. I got to
you touched on Travis Sawyer. Let's clear this up right now. He is actually related to Buzz Sawyer, correct?
Yes, he was his son. His mother never got married to him. And the reason, you know, I know some people always think, "Oh, I don't believe him" or whatever. But he never got that in Knoxville because Tom Pritchard, between his WWE stints, was back at the Thursday show that we all used to do, where I met John, where I trained, all that kind of shit. And he remembered his mother as soon as he saw him. As soon as he saw her and his aunt, he was like, "Hey, what the fuck?" You know, and he was talking about how they drink beer on the steps of the Omni, and he was like, "Fucking Travis." He goes, "I haven't seen you since you were, you know, literally a baby." And so that's why I really never got that. Now, so there was a lot of guys who didn't believe it because there's a lot of guys who go around and do that stuff. He would always take the path of not, you know, some people would try to tell him you should wear the furry boots, do this and that. He goes, "Nah, you know, I'll use my dad's name, but I want to be me." You know, which wasn't far away from his father, as far as the story I've heard, because Travis is pretty nuts. But these days, you know, Travis has got, he's got all kinds of kids, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. He doesn't wrestle as much anymore. He had to come off the road. He had things he had to take care of, so he hasn't been around as much. So I do miss him, especially because, you know, he was Sean's backup. You know,
I talked a lot of shit,
and
I can't fight for nothing. So,
yeah, you know, so Travis came out of the car, and we got Tommy Mercer. So then, you know, I mean, there we go. So, you know, Sean was like, "See, I always make friends with big dudes." But,
yeah.
Tony
always gives me a hard time, so they get 25 pounds bigger when we got Travis and Tommy with me.
Now he's on TNA, so we're shaking everybody's hand. You know.
Just along the same lines, I'm only asking curiosity because I got two emails in the last week telling me two different things, just out of the blue, and I didn't even ask the question, but one email said that Jesse Bell Smothers was Tracy Smothers' legit daughter, and the other email said that she was not. Which is it? Can you clear that up, Sean?
Yes. She is.
She is. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't find that out until she actually hit him up and asked him to take her on the road and train her. Because, you know, Smothers training, you know, that's who showed me the ropes. His training is a lot different than most guys. He likes to get guys that already have the basics and take them on the road. And, you know, after your matches, during your matches with him or whatnot, that's when he breaks it down. So this is what you do. You know, you got to do this better. You do this better. And this is how you act. This is how you work. You know, and so she had heard that through the grapevine, through myself and a few other guys that she already knew. So she hit him up. And, you know, I'm not going to go too much into their personal stuff. They started talking about each other's backgrounds, each other's past, and found out that he was her father.
And I also heard she was married to the Indian Outlaw. I didn't know that. I mean, at one time.
Yes. They were. I don't know if they were married or not. I know they were.
I think they were.
That's
it was close.
That's where I first met her.
Yeah.
Her. Yeah. Ben, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. It was close. I don't know if they were, but it was close. They were close.
Okay. And now she's a couple with skid marks, I guess. So,
yes,
you know,
her and Skid Marks together.
Which is actually the only reason I watched that show. It was it. And once he got eliminated, I said, "Okay, I'm cool. I'm done." You know, that's it. It's hard to watch. You know, I know it's all work and it's TV, but it's hard for me being a 37-year-old out-of-shape manager and being able to do the spots that they were attempting to do cleanly, and they couldn't. I'm like, come on, man, you know they can do that. You know, and that's just my opinion. I mean, come on, I can do a fucking leapfrog, drop down, tackle, whatever. I mean, it's not hard. It's day one shit. You can't get out of the fucking ring, even if it's the hillbilly down the street for $25. You're going to know that when you get out, you know. So, I don't know. It just, it's hard to watch that, especially because I know a lot of people that should be in that position, and they're not.
Oh, sure.
You know, so
yeah,
it's hard to watch. And in my opinion, yeah, they told Matt Cross to tone it down.
Yeah, speaking of that, I know I'm a guest. Can I ask a question to Murder?
Sure.
Ask me a question.
Yeah, Murder. Like, when do you think somebody's gonna come in with some money and put together the super indie roster? I mean, there's a lot of shit fuck guys out there right now, but there's a lot of really talented guys too. You got the Now, who are based out of New York, who wrestled in the South quite a bit. You got Kyle Matthews. You got Sal Renaro. You got Mark Sterling out of Missouri. I mean, there's a ton of really talented guys, you know, and we're all floating around out here. Who do you think is going to have the money and start it? What's your opinion?
I don't know, man.
Somebody's got a clue that has money. Seems like everybody's got money and got a clue.
I don't know, really. I don't. I mean, I guess I'm... Can I get back to you on that?
Well, we're actually joined right now by somebody who has money and has a clue. I think on the line here is Dr. Johnny Gayton.
Oh, boy.
Dr. Johnny Gayton.
Oh, boy. Gayton, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Hello, Doc.
I would wish I'd ran across Trent when I was in Louisville.
You didn't look too hard.
Yeah, I would like to introduce his head to a crossface.
He was getting his bin Laden on. He was hiding.
Yeah.
Please. Well, here you go, Schultz. Dr. Gayton has money. I'm not sure if he has a clue, but he has money, so hit him up right now.
Yeah, well, Dr. Gayton, you know me. Break us back, man. What's up? Get us a book.
Well, I'm doing well. I heard the comments that were being made earlier by Trent, and I wanted to assure him that he didn't have anything to do with the match or its outcome. And I also wanted to assure him that I'm getting rather fatigued at hearing his comments, and that's why I offered to come by and introduce him to the cross space when I was in Louisville. And I never heard anything from him. So,
wait, ask a question.
I guess I understand that he's one of those people that knows how to write a check with his mouth that his body can't cash.
Trent, there you go. On iPay-per-view, Dr. Gayton versus Trent. There it is. Hey, we'll be like Goulash. Put in a bowl of jello. Hell in a jello.
Yeah. Yeah, hell in a jail match. Dr. Gayton and Trent Vendry.
Everything's a stipulation.
That is the direction we are heading at RPW, is to go with that.
Hell in a jail?
No, pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Okay. Trent's in jail.
Anyway.
Goulash is a good booker. Here we go.
Everything's a step. You know this. I don't know, Murder, if you've ever worked for him, but everything's a step for that guy. Everything. You know, everything. One time he had Mickey Knuckles and Jesse Bell in a boxing match, and he had Steve-O and Tracy Smothers in a tear-your-clothes-off match. You know what I mean? Okay. We're going to get Angel Williams and put her in a mummy match. Just tie her up. Nobody wants to see that. You know, tape her up.
So, Doc, you said you were about to say something about some eye pay-per-views?
That's the direction I'm wanting to go. And, you know, I have a darn good tag team on our roster that was NWA World Tag Team Champions.
Who's that?
We were.
Not anymore.
I know. Not anymore. Yeah. You were earlier today.
Yeah, but they did hold it, and they defended it successfully multiple times over the past couple of weeks. And I'm very proud of the usual suspects. And they did a great job Sunday at RPW. So... not only do we have them, we have Bull Buchanan, we have Jimmy Rave, approved, White Lava. We have an excellent roster, and looking forward to moving the IPPV route.
Yeah,
And you have no more Dr. Gaten in the ring. You have no more Dr. Gaten in the ring, so that's even a better reason.
But Dr. Gaten would make one more appearance in the ring if he could get a hold of Trent.
You're retired. You can't. You are retired, Dr. Gaten. You
but
are
see, no, 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 no,
finished.
No, 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 no.
That
I
might
got,
be
I
money.
I got a loophole in that, see? See? I got a loophole. I am a wrestling. I know wrestling. So all we have to do is say whoever main events the show, after the main, you cut the lights off and cut the lights back on, and it's not sanctioned by RPW.
Lights out.
Lights out.
Yeah.
You could put a mask on and be Dr. Giggles. Nobody will know it's you.
I think that's an awesome idea.
I'll put one of those cheese heads on and go as the cheddar head or something, since, you know, from Green
Bay.
Yeah,
I think there's money there, Trent. I don't know.
Well, Dr. Gaten, let me ask you about the iPay-per-view. It's interesting you say that, because just the other day, OVW was talking about putting their, like, Saturday Night Special on iPay-per-view live for people in Europe and stuff. And, like, how many buys would it take, you know, to break even on something like that? Because I can't imagine, I mean, some of these indies, they might only get 100 buys or something like that, you know?
Yes,
sir. True, but it's not really as expensive to do the internet pay-per-view. And as you saw with TNA, they worked for a long time using the pay-per-view route to try to build up an audience. So I don't mind it being a money-losing proposition for a while if I see that we're enjoying some growth and increased awareness of the product. And one of the things that we have seen in Middle Georgia is we've seen a continual improvement in our rating. In fact, initially when we went on Fox 24, we actually varied between the number 2 and the number 3 rated wrestling show in the Middle Georgia area. We regularly beat SmackDown, Superstars, and Next in the Middle Georgia ratings. We were behind Raw, and we varied between number 2 and number 3 with TNA. So,
I got a real question. Dr. Gaten, I got a real question. How many rats do you have? Got a bunch of rats? You got rats paying for the high pay-per-view? Because that's what Larry was saying. That, you know, that's how you do it. Get the rats to pay for everything.
That's what I said.
No, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
You don't get me credit.
Dr.
Sorry.
Gaten doesn't need a rat. Dr. Gaten cuts eyeballs. He's like a millionaire. I'm sure he is. Dr. Gaten, can you put me alone?
He can loan you 10 knuckles across your face.
Boom! That'd be a double axe handle, I believe. Ooh, double axe handle. Yeah, I gotta love it.
I would like to talk just a second about the previous guest on the bullying comment and how there was any relationship between wrestling and bullying, you know, as far as the anti-bullying campaign. I think that, would it be okay to make a comment about that?
Sure.
Go ahead, Doc.
I think that the guest was missing the point entirely. One of the things
life entirely.
Well, professional wrestlers certainly engage other professional wrestlers, and they may very well talk to the fans and all, and may talk in derogatory terms to the fans. But professional wrestlers are real men, and they don't have to go bullying little kids as far as, mistreating them. And one of the things that I have learned with the professional athletes taking a stance against bullying is it actually impresses people that, hey, you know, that guy is a real man and he doesn't believe in bullying and maybe I should reevaluate my position on him. And I have to say that this is a big, serious problem in the United States and as many people that will take a stance against it as possible, I greatly appreciate, because there are kids killing themselves daily because of this issue. There's people that are on all kind of substances to try to ease the pain of it. I personally dealt with it a lot when I was a child.
I was going to say, or they all grow up to be pro wrestlers, one of the two. Either do drugs or be a pro wrestler. That's what I did. Fuck it. Oh, you guys make fun of me. Suck a dick. What about it now?
Dr. Gaten, a wrestling heel is a bully, Dr. Gaten, in most cases. I mean, they're playing a role.
You bully the refs, and you bully announcers, and you bully other people. To a certain extent, I see it. But at the same time, I think that Vince...
You can't argue with chicken ass. Period.
It's an entertainment product, and that's kind of the thing. That's the theme right now with a lot of things. And stop bullying and all that kind of stuff. And even so, I was trying to watch the NBA playoffs.
Sound like chicken ass right there.
Yeah. See, exactly. And they had a commercial about it. You know, about the same along the same lines. And you know, to me, it's different for me because I truly am the son of Italian immigrants who grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I was born in the 70s, so I don't look at things that way. You know what I mean? And Cleveland could be a pussy. You know, that's it's just that kind of town. It's a tough town, blue collar working class town. So my slant on it's different, but I think that that's why Vince is going in that direction, because you see a lot of mainstream commercials like that. Vince likes to be a part of the mainstream. And he knows that his show is an entertaining product, and it's not as overly aggressive as it once was, or violent and chaotic. It's pretty tame these days. So I don't know. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. You know, they put the message out and endorse it, and it's good. You know,
listen, while we're talking, while we're still putting chicken head over the whole time, I got to say, I did the SmackDown spot Tuesday, going handing out bags out for Cody Rhodes. Chicken hat wasn't in his normal spot. I almost just stopped and went to the back. I was so depressed.
Cody, who he was.
I went in his normal spot. It usually sits across from the hard cam. It's like, fucking, here we go. Get your chicken hat a bag. He wasn't there. I almost just threw the bags down and said, fuck it.
World renowned chicken hat. International superstar. Gotta love him. He's the best.
Hey, guys, and I know we're jumping around a lot, but I just now received another email saying emphatically from a third person that Jesse Bell Smothers is not Tracy Smothers' daughter, and not in big exclamation points. So I don't know what's going on.
It seems like we have like a General Hospital type storyline, and until we can get to the ring and hit somebody with a chair, it's not going to be resolved. If I was booking a show, I'm booking that angle. I don't give a shit. And Maury Povich, I'm bringing him in.
Ask him how many years they were on the road.
You are the father. You are the father. You know, so.
I mean, picture this. Could you imagine Tracy Smothers on Maury Povich? Tell me that wouldn't be money.
Man, oh, my God. I watch it every time. I record it and watch it again.
I'm driving there and I'm buying a ticket. That will draw money. That'll draw me in there.
I want to say something else completely from the heart here. Listen, everybody's got these preconceived notions of Smothers and you know, how he acts and everything. Everybody says certain things about him. That guy has been the most genuine, loving person I've ever met in my entire life. That guy treated me like a true member of his family, and I will be in forever debt to Smothers just for the years of not letting me die on a roll with my smart-ass mouth and everything. So, I mean, I just want to say to all these people that, you know, think he's great to be alive.
Sean, what do you make of all the rumors and stories about him being messed up and having had too many concussions and you know, all that?
That's why guys that are dumbasses and say dumbass shit and get put in their place, and they're too big of a pussy to stand up to him. So, yeah, not now. Yeah, of course he's crazy then, because you don't want to get your ass kicked. So you go and tell somebody else he's crazy. You want to say, that Kenny Bowling guy in fucking Louisville, Kentucky wants to have him and his son talk shit on commentary about Smothers while I'm in the ring, while Jesse Bell's in the ring. Guarantee he wouldn't say it, whether he's being a heel or whatever he's trying to be, he won't say it. His Smothers is in the building, won't say it to his fucking face, and won't say, well, we can hear it. That guy's a fucking pussy. He's a fucking piece of shit, and he would never say anything to fucking Smothers' face, or my fucking face, for that fucking matter, so he can suck a fucking dick.
Well, Smothers said himself,
So you don't have a very high opinion of Kenny Bolin. Is that what I'm getting here?
I met the guy one time before I did OVW, and then I didn't know what was going on. I was in the ring working. You know, we were there to do what we did, and we were, you know, passing through and all that shit. And he was trashing Smothers, saying he drinks too much and all that. Hey, listen, that ain't Smothers. He don't drink too much. You don't know him, obviously, and you ain't going to say it if he's there. I don't care if you're trying to be a bad guy ring announcer or a bad guy commentator or whatever you're trying to be. You're not going to say it if he's in the fucking building, so don't say it at all. It ain't getting nobody over. It ain't doing anything for the show. So just shut your fucking mouth, you piece of shit. You're never going anywhere in life. So you're going to be a fucking OVW your whole fucking life making nuts. Good for you.
Hey, but Smothers has said himself. He's had like 25 concussions, or whatever he says. He said that.
Everybody's been concussed. I've been fucking concussed in the ring. I mean, everybody has. I mean, he's had concussions. He's great.
Yeah, concussion awareness, quote unquote. You know, that was a big pro sports mark. I mean, that didn't even go up until a couple of years ago, where people started saying, "Hey, you're going to die if you have too many." You know, it happens. You know, and fucking. It doesn't take much. I mean, you don't tuck your chin right in a bump and you're going to get a mild concussion. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So I'm sure he's had a lot of concussions, but it's not like he's punch drunk, fucking retarded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can talk to Smothers and have a conversation and you know what's happening. He's not retarded, so.
Speaking of injuries, in a more serious note, I know, Sean, you came back from a very serious injury. Could you touch on that a bit, about that how that went down?
Yeah, I had 3 insanely severe, it's actually the word the doctor used, concussions, and 8 minor ones on the same place, which gave me a contusion. I didn't know what that was, so I'll explain it. It's just a cut underneath a bruise, and made my brain start bleeding and swelling. And I didn't know about it until I was taking my daughter to SeaWorld, and on the trip down there, I started feeling really bad. I felt like I was just really sick, just had no energy or anything. And finally, I couldn't get out of bed the next day, so the person that was with me took me to the ER there, and they rushed me right in and started shooting me full of all types of drugs and all types of crazy stuff to get swelling down. And I woke up an hour before they were going to shave my head, 3 hours before they were going to cut my skull open to allow my brain to keep swelling.
Wow.
But it finally stopped, got back to where it needed to be, and I wrestled 3 weeks later because I'm fucking stupid.
Scared to death, too. It was the first time that I had seen, because he made sure he had somebody in the ring with him that he trusted. So Travis was out there with him, and it was one of the first times, you know, I was messing with Travis. I didn't know you still chain wrestle, you know, because, you know, Tom was so apprehensive. And he's like, "I can still do it, motherfucker. I just don't," you know. it was a real light match. You know, you could tell there was a lot of, you know, nervousness. But, you know, after a while, it was back to the bits of a doppelganger, and, you know, so it's all good.
Mm. Hey, Lacasio, where did you get that leopard print vest? I have to know.
my wife got it for me.
Wow.
Yeah, she has some.
Only in this business would you hear that. My wife got me this leopard print vest.
Yeah, I was like, "Come on, give me that. I got it at a fucking thrift store." And it gets heat, so you know I needed to wear it. I actually got it because it looked so ridiculous, and I needed to switch up because I had a purple jacket that with the whole getup that I was wearing at the time, I looked like you know Jimmy Hart and Nixon or something. And I dropped it in a big ass puddle or something. It was a winter. Sean, do you remember? It's Jerry and Tommy, everybody was in the car. I came out and I dropped it. Everybody went, "Oh!" It was popping the knife. And it fucked it all up. And so, and then it was starting to get warm in a minute. And so I found that and it looked ridiculous. So I got it. I always get heat. So I just wear it and I just look completely ridiculous. And it was really for a series of promos I was doing because we were doing TV in Morristown at the time. And I was going to Vegas and then Los Angeles for one of my friends' weddings and all that. So I cut all these promos and I was in LA trying to get Sean on Living Dead 7 and Attack of the Kill Tomatoes 6 and all that kind of stuff. And I was getting all these, you know, movie contracts or whatever. And I just continued to wear it. And it just, you know, looks ridiculous. Missy Hyatt told me to tell people I beat up a transvestite for it, but every time I said that, like, I guess I must sound convincing because they always look at me like I did it for shoot. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really do that. Come on. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm just kidding. You know, so it just doesn't work. So,
I didn't really do that. I whooped Pat's ass.
Right. And Sean, where did you get that everybody knows catchphrase? I think that's really...
Oh, no.
Well,
I got some of that.
That's something I'm not very proud of. It was a time in my life. And I wrestled this guy, and apparently we were in a program together. I didn't even know it, and I was aggravated that I had to wrestle him and wrestle him in a cage, and I don't know. I was really unhappy, and I lost my mind during the match, and I was screaming out, you know, "Fuck you!" And you know, who's
there's
the
really annoying
doctor
in the ring too. There's a really annoying ref. He get in your face, going, mugged him and said, "Shut your fucking mouth." And every time he did that, the crowd just went low for some reason. They just happened to hear it and they freaked out.
And I just
way
out of control.
I was
way out of control, and I really was. And the promoter called me and said, "Hey, man, take a few weeks off. You know, the people are kind of upset." And I was like, "That's cool. I understand. You know, I was out of control." And the first week I came back, I came out and got on the microphone. And I just said, everybody knows you can't have a wrestling show without a Sean Schultz promo. And
there it is.
Everybody, as soon as I grabbed it, everybody was like, "Oh, no," you know. And I said that, and, everybody kind of popped. And then I teased, I was going to curse a few times, and everybody popped. We had a really good crowd at the time. It was in Alcoa, Tennessee, on Thursdays. And it was, 300 or 400 every Thursday there. And a lot of college guys, and they're all drunk, and they're always real loud. So I did something. I rolled out and got the microphone again. And the crowd said, "Everybody knows." After that, so I was just like, "Well, there it is. All right, that's one thing."
Yeah.
Tom Pritchard.
And not too long after
that
is when I showed up, and we did a show at an Adventure Con, sci-fi, whatever the shit, and in Knoxville, and they had a show there, and he grabbed the microphone. That's when I was training, so I was calling the matches for Duke, because you'd tape the DVD or local television. And I remember he grabbed the microphone, and they were trying to turn it off, and I kind of had my arm in front of the turn-off, you know, the volume switch. I'm like, "I don't know where it is on this thing," you know, with a different sound system that day. And everybody so nervous. You should have seen him, because they thought he was going to, you know, act crazy at a mic, which, of course, he didn't. He did say he's going to, you know, beat up Billy Dee Williams, but...
Because the guy that played Jaws and James Bond was right behind us, and I'd say the only reason the thing was happening was because I was there, not if you were a bad guy, and... In James Bond, and I was like, "You guys are paying $35 for Darth Vader's autograph. He wore a mask the whole movie. How you know it's really him? It's actually just some homo over there charging you people." And I was like, "I'm going to slap the black off Billy Dee Williams," and everybody got quiet. And I was like, "Oh no!" You know, I was like, I looked over, and there was two janitors there, and they started popping. And then this real big guy after my match, this real big jack dude came over to me. He was like, "Hey, you're the one that said that about Billy Dee Williams?" I was like, "Yeah." He thought that was hilarious. Thank you, bro. I was like, "Oh, Jesus, okay."
Near-death experience.
Yes. I thought, what's the worst thing going to happen? Billy Dee Williams beat me. I'd be all over the paper, so that'd be good.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys have spent a lot of time together on the road. You must get sick of each other. I mean, what do you do when you get sick of each other?
I never really have. We're both so retarded. We just...
Yeah.
We'll either get quiet, and then we'll both "Look at that."
Yeah, it doesn't really happen.
There's guys I've been on the road with that I've got tired of. You know, Tony's not one. I guess we have enough differences and similarities. I like late 90s rap rock, Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock and all that. Tony thinks
I like
terrible.
Municipal Waste. Yeah, I like Municipal Waste.
So that's the only thing we don't really agree on. You know, he's listening to Cannibal Corpse or whatever it is, and I'm like, "Oh, cool, you know, Aerosmith, you know."
Yeah, right. But Jerry likes the death metal, so when he's in the car, it balances out, you know.
Yeah. Jerry listens to really epic, female lead singer death metal with these huge, lead-ins, and, you know, I'd kind of take that. It's pretty cool.
But he likes some of the stuff that he likes some of that, you know, kill your mother, rape your brother type stuff, you know, that I like too. So, you know,
he likes to do this to pop himself. He'll read the names of, the songs, dying, bleeding, you know, cow fetus or whatever, you know, shit like that. Jesus Christ, that's a song? He goes, "Yeah, it's 35 seconds, bro. It's awesome.
It's amazing."
And, what are your, give us some of your top survival tips for these incredible road trips you guys get on at times.
Be cheap as a son of a
retarded.
Bitch. Yeah. Be cheap. You better have a sense of humor.
I'm actually dieting right now, so I grab, for the first time, ever, I'm running on kind of a straight
diet.
Yeah,
which is good, because, you know, we'd be on the road, and Tommy and Sean had to eat like every 15 minutes. They had to go into McDonald's and eat 15 Big Macs or whatever. Every
chicken wraps,
minutes,
man. Chicken wraps with no sauce.
Whatever.
The ranch sauce has 25 grams of carbs in it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like they had to eat every hour. They had to piss every 30 minutes. They had to. That's what you know. When I drove, or, you know, even if it was my car, I would be the guy driving because I don't give a shit to drive all night. So, you know, I think, no, let's wait till we get past this major city and a little bit out, and then there'll be a gas station where we can do everything. We can get drinks, you can go to the bathroom, fast food, gas, and they had to stop like every 90 minutes. So now he's on diet, so it's not that bad. You know, I had to stop every 30 seconds. I mean, we'd have to stop going from Smyrna to Nashville twice, you know, before. You know, I'm hungry, bro, Jesus, you know, so.
Well, what's a survival tip? Like, you know, to get the if you like the energy drinks, get like the 4-pack at Walmart. Get a little cooler. Get your little tuna packets. You know, and
right.
Steal a bunch of shit everywhere you go.
Buy the
like,
cheapest.
Forks,
if you smoke,
napkins,
get the cheapest,
you know?
Nastiest cigarettes ever. You
yeah.
know,
roll
I,
up gimmicks.
I smoke, yeah, roll up gimmicks. You know, just be cheap. Have a good sense of humor. Make sure that you get along with everybody's in the car. You're gonna spend
yeah.
at least minimum 12 hours in that day with. You know, at least know where the deals are, the exits. Like, that, all the boys used to make fun of me because I know what's on every exit and where and when and all this and that. And just, you know where you got to find where the deals are. You just have to be, you have to live frugal and underneath your means.
Mm-hmm. You're married, guys. Listen, for all you married boys out there that want to travel, listen, you gotta get a friend. I hope our wives aren't listening. You got to get a friend that your wife trusts that thinks they're married and super in love too. That way, if you happen to be late, you they just think you're stuck in traffic.
That's me.
No, obviously it's doing it. Because
yeah,
your other friend's not going to let it happen because, he's dedicated.
Yeah. Wait a minute, bro. That's not cool.
Yeah, you know. And never break that. Never break that trust between them. Never go home and be like, man, this guy's a dick. Never do it. Even if it pissed you off, never do it. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
And I know, Tony, I know you're you're serving as a booking agent for TNA Crimson/Tommy Mercer. Could you tell us how's that going and what's up with him these days?
It goes pretty well. And right now he's doing pretty good in television, too. You know, and he's finally, they got him on his little singles gimmick. You know, I believe he had a pay-per-view match with Abyss last night. So he's kind of, they're trusting him to go on his own right now. And, the bookings are pretty good. They're here and they're there. Some people, the one thing that, see, here's the problem, is that I was in sales for 8 or 9 years. So I always treat everything like it's a business. Now, the wrestling business, we always call it that, but it's really not. It's a con. The whole business is a fucking work. But I always treat it like that. And sometimes, you know, like a guy will hit me up and he'll say, how much for, you know, Mercer, Crimson, whatever. And I'll say, this much. And they won't answer me. And because everybody in wrestling is a tough guy. They never say anything to you. And I'll just be like, what's the problem? You got to hit them back. Or they'll be like, oh, that's outrageous. That's this and that. I actually had to explain to one dude in a long email. They listen, okay? That's not because he was like, I've been in business for, I'm like, you ain't been in business, motherfucker. That's not how you negotiate. I said this price. Now you come back and say, well, that's too much for me. How about this? And then maybe we'll meet in the middle and we'll negotiate some things out. But that's not how a lot of guys in wrestling don't do it that way. They just either don't answer you back or they fire back with some fucking veteran bullshit. I've been around forever, and that's crazy, you know. And, you know, some guy's like, that's too expensive for him. He's on fucking national television. He's not going to be what you paid for him last year when he was some fucking indie dude. You know what I mean?
Right.
He hasn't had a match
right.
over 6 minutes. He hasn't even fucking lost yet. And, you know, motherfuckers want to see him. He's a big, jack son of a bitch. And, and the price isn't really even that high a lot of times. It depends on where they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they get,
I would assume
yeah, that. Yeah, and they got to remember, you know, what trans is or this and that, or some guy's in fucking Oregon, you know what I mean? Well, you got to fly. If I'm going to fly him, what do you think, he's going to fucking drive from Nashville? I mean, so a lot of times I just have to taper that down and just go with what I'm looking for instead of
mm-hmm.
saying, how about this, and waiting for them to come back with a counteroffer. Because, again, when it comes to that, I was thinking in business terms. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking real business, you know, end of the day, bottom line, profit margin, et cetera, et cetera. And not, hey, buddy, you open Saturday? So now I just give him, I just shoot him the, here, this is what he wants. You know, I'll just ask him, I'll say, it's here, what do you want? Say this. And I'll just say, there it is. And then it, that just works easier. But that was my fault for doing that in the first place because I've been in business long enough to know that people don't operate that way. So, you know, at first it was frustrating, but then I had to remember that, again, it is the wrestling business and not, you know, I'm not, you know, selling ads for 90,000 circulation paper or whatever I used to do. So
right.
Now I just kind of just shoot it to where I want it, and that's it. So, I mean, it's pretty good, especially that he's on TV a lot and stuff like that. He did more and more people request his booking than before. But it's good, you know, he's doing his thing. They obviously like him. I think that, you know, eventually they're going to do something with him, so we'll just, you know, we'll see where we go going forward.
And at the risk of, you know, not biting the hand that feeds, could you, where would you say, like, promotions you've really enjoyed working for and maybe some that you'd just assume never go back and work again?
I really like Chicago-style wrestling.
Chicago.
Agree. I like that.
Fozzie and those guys do a really good job. They really do.
Yeah, Steve Foz. I really like that. I like Rampage, actually.
Rampage was really cool. I enjoyed it. I love the guys. It's, lots of times for me, it's who's in the locker room. And all the guys that don't get to see a lot, I love to death. I love Sal to death.
Right.
I love murder. Like, I love seeing murder because, like, they're real. You know, I'm not saying that because you're on the line here, too. Like, they're real guys. You know what I mean? Like, if you saw something you don't think I should do again, you guys would come tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be like, oh, I'm not coming back. I'd be like, oh, thanks, bro. You know, and vice versa. I feel like you guys give me the same respect. And Sal and Kyle Matthews is amazing. I love Kyle. And,
Bert's the best. Bert is actually the only promoter that's ever paid me because the gate was bigger. Who paid me more because the gate was bigger. He's actually the only one who's ever done that.
Nice.
And the new show we just did, Next Level in Knoxville, Devin Driscoll.
Yeah, really,
I really like
that.
That
was
a great show.
Yes. Yeah, great show. I mean, they were great. Conway, and we worked for Dinsmore. We did the Eugene gimmick, and I mean, those guys, Paul Burchill was down there. Paul, I don't know if you guys, the people listening, or the, you know, all you guys have ever got to really see him work and have time to work. That guy is awesome. Paul Burchill is amazing. The next show, actually, we're actually tagging with Paul to wrestle Sigmund and Evan Driscoll. So that should be a really good time. Sigmund's really good. And
there's a lot of good ones, too. Matt Riviera in Arkansas always treated us well.
Yeah.
I always like going to the Maddox Brothers shows and, you know, Kentucky. I mean, you tell Gimmick, son of a bitch. You know, the Cash Brothers were always easy to work with. Scotty Ray. I mean, there's a lot of them, you know. And
we haven't been there yet, but I talked to a couple guys about going to the NWA Charlotte there, and not Charlotte, NWA in Chattanooga, and I talked to a couple guys there, and I like their game plan. Their game plan is to bring a lot of guys in and filter guys back out and have guys in and out to make the roster look really depth. And that's something Tony and I have always talked about. We had our own show that we would do that. We make our roster look like it's really depth, and that was the idea they had, and they came up to me and asked about doing a couple of things here and there, and a couple of other guys coming in taking my spot. And I was like, that's great. That's good business. You know, you don't want – I mean, I get bored being in the locker room with the same guys over and over, so I know the fans get bored seeing the same guys over and over, and I don't care to take a couple of, you know, shows off for here and there for other guys to come in. That's good business, I think.
Yeah.
I'm excited to work that show, too.
Yeah, that Chattanooga show is Dan Wilson, and they're doing well up there. They're doing really good.
We haven't been there yet. When they approached me and the ideas they had, I mean, they seem to be putting thought into it, and that's a lot more than you say for a lot of the shows, you know. So
it's always fun to work for Action Mike Jackson. It's always fun to work for Action Mike Jackson down in Alabama. He's ready. That son of a bitch, he'll go 90 miles an hour. What is he, 80? Still goes.
Oh, yeah.
It's always fun to work for him. He's a funny guy. I mean, there's a lot of good shows.
Anywhere you wouldn't go back.
Anybody what?
Any promotion that you absolutely would not go back to work for.
No, they had to wait. Yeah, as long as the money's there, we'll go.
Okay.
There's guys we don't necessarily like, and there's guys that were like, come on, man, this is ridiculous, and, you know, they lie about this and that. But at the same time, like, I mean, we, like, you know, like you said earlier, this is our life, this is our living. So, I mean, if the money's there, I'll never say never to anybody. You know, like, I mean, I don't care if Kenny Bolin was booking a show. I'd be there tomorrow. Pay me. I don't care.
Who
cares?
Yeah, if the money's there, I mean, it's a business. I mean, Heenan always said if you're in this business for anything other than money, you're a mark. And, if the money's there, we're there. Who cares? Put that guy over. Fine. Do it. Done. Good. Whatever. You know what I mean? Just doesn't matter to me.
Before we let you go, where can we look for you guys? Any contacts, anything you want to plug?
Well, the Next Level Wrestling, we're going to be doing a lot for that. They're doing two shows a month in Knoxville, and that's really good. That's a really good show.
On Facebook, facebook.com/everybodyknowsMDV for Modern Day Viking. I just put actually a match from the building that Porter is running now, the NWA Main Event building, me and Matt Boyce. I just put that up, so if everybody wants to check that out, it's really good. I'm really proud of that match, me and Matt. That's probably one of the best ones we've had, and we've wrestled a billion times. So I'm really proud of that match. So facebook.com/everybodyknowsMDV, and then seanschultz.weebly.com. You can catch me on that anytime.
Yeah, you can catch me anywhere. Hey, June 8th, too, we're in Nashville, are we not? That's some CMA thing or something? Or?
Yeah, that's Mickey James and Friends, and I'm wrestling Matt. Tony will be out there, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, little Jimmy Dickens is going to have a little something to do with our match.
Oh, no.
He might be in Matt Boyce's corner. Because when I lost,
of course he will.
But I had the NWA Mid-America TV title for 19 months straight. When Matt Boyce beat me, little Jimmy Dickens happened to be in the crowd, and I have vowed my life and career on getting little Jimmy Dickens back. So that might be my opportunity. I'm going to step on that little dwarf.
Yeah. And anytime you see that we're going to be out there with Chase Owens, you need to come and see it.
Oh, man, yes. Me and Chase Owens, yeah. Always. I want to educate people. If you don't know who Chase Owens is, please do Google the guy. The guy is getting ready to start at Ring of Honor this July 9th, I believe.
Son of a bitch. He's good as a motherfucker.
He's really good. He's one of Ricky Morton's trainees. Always having great matches with Ricky Morton's first trainee, second trainee, not Kick Cash, but Brad Thomas. And Chase Owens is Ricky's third trainee, and he can go. And he's amazing. He actually, the way he moves and how smooth he is reminds you a lot of Kyle Matthews. So if you're educated to Kyle Matthews, check out Chase Owens as well.
And you can find a lot of his matches on Georgia Wrestling History News section under the NWA Smoky Mountain TV. We put the links up for those, Owens often appears on there. And we'll have the links up for the Next Level Wrestling shows. We'll have the announcements. Those will also be in the Georgia Wrestling History News and Notes section if you want to check those out. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate your time tonight.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Anytime.
Take care.
Thank you, guys. See you, Murder.
All right, man. You take it easy.
Murder!
All right.
And we are very honored at this point to be joined by just an outstanding wrestler, former Ring of Honor champion, former TNA X Division champion, three-time World Tag Team champion, Homicide. Welcome to Phoning It In, sir.
Thank you for having me. Representing NYC, it's always the 1-7 Homicide. Thank you.
And hey, I didn't mention, of course, you're going to be part of this the new Underground Wrestling Federation. Could you, of course, we're on with Murder One as well. Could you tell us, I know you guys are both involved in that, and I don't know how much you can say or cannot say about that project, but could you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, everybody thinks, I'm guessing the fans thinking the rappers like Uncle Murder, people from the ATL Bad Boy South is the one who's going to wrestle, but they're not. The ones who will be in the ring fighting is myself, Murder One, the SAT, Slick Wanda Brand, and all those guys that you heard from the independent circuit and also for Ring of Honor TMA. My thing is that I can't say too much, but basically everybody's saying it's another version of Wrestling Society X, and I see their product, and it's really not. The way it looks to me, it's like 1996 ECW meets Boys in the Hood in the movie. So it is like hip-hop and wrestling. Just like when I heard about the Juggalos, you know, the Juggalo Championship Wrestling, and they got this little thing going on like Woodstock. It reminded me like an evil-ass Woodstock. And that's what Urban Wrestling Federation remind me. It remind me of the old classic ECW people like the Dudley Boys, Tommy Dreamer, Raven, the Gangsters, and you know, meet up with people like Ice Cube, Doughboy, the Boys in the Hood, the Men's Society, New Jack City. It's kind of weird, but it's a new project, and I think it's going to be a blast. I think we're going to go out there and make some money. And then hopefully all the boys have a recognition, because a lot of boys deserve to be all over the world, be on TV, and make some money.
Well, if you could pull off a combination of Boys in the Hood and classic ECW, you'd have a winner, I'd say.
Yeah. And back then, I used to love ECW. So when I heard the owner, Steve Carroll, telling me the way the project is, I would say to myself, holy crap, man, this is like just like ECW meeting with the hip-hop, with, you know, the guys like Uncle Murder, you know, hopefully the Wu-Tang Clan's in action. I don't know, but something big's going to happen. We just signed Melly Mel, who's in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so it's going to be pretty big. And we got very outstanding, underrated wrestlers in the world performing on pay-per-view on demand, June 3rd of 2011. And things are going to pop off. Things are going to be real good. This is nothing that the fans see on WWE and hell no with TNA. This is something different, something unique. And we're going to entertain or whatever you want to call it, but we're going to make sure that the people who buy this on pay-per-view, the people go to the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, and they're going to leave happy and come back for some more. And basically for ourselves, like myself, Murder One, STs, all those guys with the rosters, we're going to do like we always do, bust our ass and make it very entertaining and make some money.
Okay.
I was looking at the roster, the updated roster for the UWF. Homie, your camp, your training camp supplied like half these dudes.
That's
an accomplishment. I mean, you know what I'm saying? To me, you know, you got your people. That just shows that you yourself, you know what I'm saying, a good business, and you train quality wrestlers.
Yeah, but I'm like a team, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, everybody knows my favorite baseball team is the New York Yankees. Of course, I'll be hearing a lot of people, oh, yeah, by the World Series ring. Well, who cares, you know what I'm saying? We always got the best. We always strive for the best. And I see the roster, man. It's not only New York, man, but people from Atlanta, 305 from Miami. We got people from Chicago, Texas, California. There's a lot of guys who's going to be at this roster that is going to, you know, entertain people and make some good living. And I can't wait for June 3rd, man, because we're going to surprise the world. We're not going to surprise the city. We're going to surprise the entire planet.
I like the sound of that.
Excuse my ignorance, but could you fill us in a little bit about your training school?
Well, as of right now, I'm doing a little part-time because I've been traveling and working with Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling. We did a tour this weekend, but I used to have this underrated school in New York City in Brooklyn. It's called the Doghouse Training Center, and a lot of people came from there. You know, we're talking about Low-Key. We're talking about guys like Azrael. From up north, I hope that nobody gets confused from the Azrael from down south. Papa Don, we also got big guys like Slugger, up-and-comers like DRS, Steve Mack. So there's a lot of guys. I train like about 22 wrestlers. Not only I go out there and perform all over the world, but also behind the scenes and train a lot of guys because I'm a team player. I like all of us just go out there. I don't like no egotistic, backstabbing snakes, and that's where everybody comes from. There's a lot of snakes in this business, and I like to teach all my guys that, you know, we all a team. You know, we go out there and help each other, and that's the only way we will make it. Sometimes we gotta look for ourselves, but sometimes we need that little help in that little team. But yeah, man, I got a school called the Doghouse Wrestling right now. We got a school I'm not familiar with the address because I'll never be there, to be honest with you. It's Liberty Avenue in East New York and Brooklyn, New York. And one of my guys, his name is Damon Slugger. He's also a worker and a famous bodyguard for Little Kim, Didi, and all these hip-hop artists and Breaking Star artists. So it's a very good school. It's a very underrated school. Of course, we wasn't living by rules because in New York City, it's about athlete commission. We got to follow by rules, and we didn't. So it closed down for a couple of years. So, and we're going to come back, and, you know, we're going to try to make it even stronger right now. The SAT got a school right now. It's called the House of Glory. There's a lot of guys going over there. It's in Queens, New York. I hope you check it out. I don't know the website. I guess Google it, houseofglory.com. and you get any information you need. If you're in a tri-state area, you want to train to become a professional wrestler.
You know, you've wrestled all over, wrestled for tons of different companies. What would you say to somebody who, you know, is thinking at this point about getting involved in pro wrestling?
Well, I always tell a lot of people, especially the kids, man, finish school. That's your first priority. You want to become a professional wrestler, always finish school and make sure you got a backup plan. Because God forbid, you knock on wood, something can happen real bad. Because I would tell all my students, if you want to become a professional wrestler, you're going to get hurt. It doesn't matter if you walk and trip, got a scrape your knee, a broken bone, but you're going to get hurt. Because that's part of the game. That's part of the wrestling. You know, you go through bruises and scrapes, and you go through ups and downs. But I would tell people, finish school. You know, that's the first priority. And after that, I have a backup plan. I'm talking about great backup plan, like studying to become a lawyer, a doctor, or a cop, anything, that you're going to have a good future. And a lot of people don't listen to me, and what happens is they become professional wrestlers. They go all over the world, but when they get hurt, they got nothing. And that's when they got to do stuff like, you know, jump on welfare line and beg for people for money and, you know, stuff like that that, you know, it's kind of embarrassing in my opinion, but I always tell people just finish school, I always have a backup plan because you never know what can happen. And wrestling is a very dangerous sport. You are going to get hurt. It's not easy.
I know I'm jumping around you a little bit, but, you know, when you were talking about, I don't know why this came into my mind, but you're talking about backstabbing and stuff, it made me think of TNA. And I just was curious if you thought what your thoughts were on your run in TNA. Do you think LAX got a fair shake? Did you get a fair shake during your time there? What's your take on your time there?
I really don't know what I mean, the beginning, it was fun. It was something I dreamed about when I was little. I wanted to be on TV. I went to Puerto Rico and wrestled Ron Killings and Conan, and that's when Conan, me and basically became good friends, and he told me that he wants to bring me to TNA and form a tag team called LEX, the Latin American Exchange. While that is happening, Mick Foley was helping me to go to the WWE because at that time I was with Ring of Honor back in 04 and 95, and he was there, and he loved the chemistry of the fans that I had. Because to him, he was like, it's not only a Latin thing or Afro-American thing or Caucasian. You just bring everybody together, and that's what he liked, and that's what Vince liked. So he basically was telling me that I want to talk to Vince McMahon about you. And I told him, well, you know, thank you so much. Right now, I'm in the middle of a situation when I'm getting hooked up with TNA. So basically, it's like a coin toss where I go, TNA or the WWE. And TNA won. So they went to that direction. I had a great run for 5 years. LEX, to me, was one of the greatest, hottest tag teams since the Hollywood Blondes. And with political reasons, I don't know why, we broke up. I think that was the most dumbest thing. But that's the way it is in business. You never know what can happen. And I feel like we should have stood together and, you know, entertain with people and make more money and do something a lot of people don't do, like the Road Warriors or the Dudley Boys, having a tag team and stay together for like the next 10, 20 years. After that, broke up, that's when everything was coming down. And I heard a lot of news, like I got heat, you know, they tested me. It was just a lot of confusion. To me, it was not very a happy home I was at. I didn't like it, man. I got hurt, and basically I got fired. I don't know how the hell you got hurt from a job and get fired. And that really pissed me off. I got hurt and I got fired. You know, all those times that we had a contract agreement or interview or a meeting to fix the problem never was fixed. It was one of those like, we can't have you because we got nothing for you. Okay, I see. When I get hurt, I guess don't want to help me. I thought we was a family. So basically, I felt like I got backstabbed. And I got backstabbed all my life. And that was one of the backstabbing situations I went through in my life. I wasn't happy at all, but it felt like I was really in county jail. I was locked up, and then I got released, and I felt freedom. And when I came back to Ring of Honor and all these independent circuits, I felt happy. I felt free. It just kind of sucked the way it happened. I don't see myself going back to TNA. It just really depends on the whole situation. But as right now, you know, I'm just going to tell the boys good luck and save your money and see what happens in the future with that company. Right now I'm hearing that they changed the name to Impact Wrestling. And that's all I got to say. You know what I'm saying? But it's just ridiculous, you know, because my thing is also that you got people busting their asses and training for 20, 30 years, and finally they made it. They have this 5-minute fame, and they get hurt. You get, you know, backstabbed or something that is not the truth. And in my personal opinion, I feel like, damn, all this training, hard work I did, it was for nothing then because I got screwed over. You know, So there's a lot of good people out there, you know, a lot of good people behind the scenes. You know, I respect the hell out of Terry Taylor. I do respect him. This man called Bob Ryder, I do respect him. You know, but there's a lot of people out there that if he was at a bar, it would be a different story. If the bar was on fire, I'll be a firefighter and I would not save him. But that's my personal opinion, you know. But I just wish for the best for that company. I don't know what the hell you want to call that company. I said the Orlando Independent, but good luck for that company.
What are your thoughts on Hot Stuff Hernandez?
Well, Hot Stuff Hernandez, that's kind of funny that you say Hot Stuff Hernandez, because, hey, but that's another story. He's like one of my best friends. We still talk, you know. I feel he's like one of the most underrated big men in the business. People like, you know, Samoa Joe. There's a lot of big guys out there, like Lance Hoyt, who also got released from TNA and WWE. He's very underrated, but Hernandez, he's one of those most underrated big men, and I think he deserves to become the world champion of TNA, Impact, whatever the name of the company. And he deserves to become the number one priority for that company. You know, he should be wrestling people like Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Sting, but no, he's doing some bogus wannabe LES gimmick. It's called the Mexican American.
Well, I was just fixing to ask you about that.
I think it's very bootleg, you know what I'm saying? I like those people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to come down and be like, man, screw that gimmick or whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm a Puerto Rican myself, and a lot of fans of mine and my family called me up, and they told me that, yeah, you should have seen this gimmick on TV, you know, and they called this guy a filthy Puerto Rican. You got Karen Angle calling rice and beans. Up north, we don't like those words, you know. It's kind of racist. You say that to me or anybody up north, then something bad is going to happen, because that's how it is in up north. And down south, like Atlanta, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, it's different from up north. You know, but I don't like it. I'm gonna be real with you. I don't like it. You know, but best wishes to all those people on that clique, whatever you want to call it. But I really don't like it. I think it's another version of LEX. I think it's a smack to my face, a smack to Shelen Martinez, and a smack to Conan. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? I'm a supporter. I support them, even though I don't like that stupid name, but I support them anyway.
On a more positive note, I know you're coming off of working the New Japan shows. Could you talk a little bit about that experience, how that went for you?
Well, I remember, like, in the 80s and 90s, man, I've been, like, studying Japanese wrestling for All Japan, especially New Japan. One of my heroes is Masahiro Chono and Kojima. And doing a tour with them this weekend, it was like one of those markout moments. I became a little kid, but sometimes I got to be like, this is business. So it was really good. I I've been through like maybe more than 100 tours in the United States and international, and that has to be like top three best tour I went to. It's incredible. It brings back wrestling the way it is. It's not like these wrestling companies that is more talking wise. You know, people that always say boring, or we want to see more wrestling. You know, New Japan Pro Wrestling was one of those companies that if you watch it, you're going to be like a little kid and just enjoy your time. And that's what it was. I had a phenomenal time as a fan, as a businessman. It was great. You know, hopefully I will stamp my foot again to Japan, especially on that company. But it was great. It's really hard to explain. It was just awesome, you know, for all around corners. As a fan, it was great. Business, it was great. It was everything. It was good.
Did the American fans give the proper respect to what they were seeing?
Yes, especially New York City, because New York City market is very high for international wrestling. So when they brought the New Japan Pro Wrestling in New York City, the fans loved it. They really enjoyed themselves. There was a lot of guys in there with a lot of Lucha Libre masks, you know, representing people like Tiger Mask and Tushy Thought the Liger. And the American fans, they loved it. They applaud the beginning of the show to the end and to the main event. And we did shows in Rahway, New Jersey, New York City, Manhattan, and of course, the hardest, in my personal opinion, the hardest territory to do a show is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, at the ECW Arena. And I remember I was talking to MVP and also Nakamura, he's one of the New Japan Pro Wrestling Rising Stars. And I was telling also Liger and Tiger Mask that this territory is one of the hardest, like, to go out there and perform. It's really hard. And they see that they was happy because they never experienced the ECW Arena, but they was very happy just being there with their presence. But it was a great 3-day tour, and the Americans, they loved it, and hopefully they come back over here because I think the Americans want to see more of the New Japan Pro Wrestling Company.
Hey, Murder, you're being awfully quiet.
Oh, I'm just listening, man.
Okay.
I'll jump in. You know me. You heard me call.
Okay.
You know, I'm just sitting here, you know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, it's the whole aspect of the cruise thing, and I'm just thinking of what, you know, what could happen if me and this man face each other.
Well, I would say, man, like, I got a little bit of a, how you say, you could say alter ego, but it's always like, I'm like people like Mike Tyson, you know, Muhammad Ali. Like, when you have a feud with somebody, it's always big, you know what I mean? And I know if the business will say Homicide, Murder One, it will be the biggest feud, bigger than Tommy Dreamer and Raven, bigger than goddamn Hulk Hogan, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, bigger than anybody, bigger than Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how passionate I am in this business. And somebody like Murder One is going to come after me and bring that fire. I'm going to lit up the gas and I'm going to get that match. We're going to burn the motherfucking house down. Excuse me for my name. We're going to burn it down.
Burn it to the ground. That's what I like to hear. I'm just here. We got any people listening right now? Anybody calling in, Larry?
Well, we rejoined by co-host number three, Trent Van Dries, just got back with us, so I was going to turn it back over to him to ask the question.
Okay.
Yeah,
Trent,
I was going to say,
you got to watch this dude right here. You got to watch this dude, Si. He known to piss guests off. He known to piss them off. I mean, I'll tell you where he live. I just got to find out myself. He's secret like that. But
all I need is such a security number. We good. I'm good with the Italians, you know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. Go ahead, Trent.
Well, I don't know what you guys have been talking about, but I just got on and heard the possibility of Homicide versus Murder One. That sounds like fucking destruction waiting to happen. Jesus Christ. Wow.
Well, everybody's talking about Judgment Day, that 2012 bullshit. Well, that's our 2012 right there. Let's have a Murder One Homicide. There's your Judgment Day.
Somebody, Doc, if you listening, let's book this before somebody else make millions.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because we got these sleaze balls around the circuit. You know, somebody gotta book it. You know what I mean?
Word.
Well, if I ask something that's already been asked, if I repeat a question, just cut me off because I don't know what's been asked. But
just so you know, we touched a little bit on TNA. We touched a little bit on Homicide's recent New Japan tour. That's what we've covered so far.
Okay. Well, Homicide, I'm curious to know. I live in Louisville and watched OVW for quite a while. I'm curious your opinion on Anarquia, lowrider Matt Brill, that's now teaming up with your old partner Hernandez. You got any take on him?
Well, I don't know nothing about him. I went to a Rhythm Matters show that was part of OVW when first time I seen him. He got a good look. He'd be great for the character because he is 100% Mexican. Like I was telling the boys, man, like I don't like it because there's a lot of political BS going on. The Mexican American. Basically, my point is, I love to have an LEX versus the Mexican American. If we're going to see who Hernandez choose, he's going to choose LEX or he's going to choose his new crew. But talking about homeboy, man, like he got a great look. He looked like he got a good future in his hands. I hope he does well in the future. Hopefully I can work with him real soon. I don't know if I'm going back to TNA, but this is a small world, and we're going to get down and dirty. And like I said, I love to have an LEX versus a Mexican-American. And a lot of people say, oh, where Hernandez is going to go? It doesn't matter if he's going to go to LEX or Mexican-America, but it's going to be money. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to go to the hospital, and it's not going to be me. I know that, so... Hopefully for those people, have a good future in TNA. But like I say, it's a small world. If we're going to touch bases one day, if we're going to score off in the ring, and I hope it comes real soon.
Now, I know you tried to get your release from TNA for a long time now. Do you miss TNA for financial reasons nowadays, if nothing else?
Yes, I miss TNA. I really miss TNA with the boys, the excitement of, you know, the road trips. Financial-wise, of course, everybody misses money. I know I misses money. That's my bitch, Brian Franklin, who's yeah. watching. You know what I mean? But of course, man, I do miss TNA. I'm not going to lie to you. I do miss it. But I miss it because of the boys. We have a great time with the tour. I do not miss the political BS. I hate politics. To me, that's like a disease that cannot go away. It's everywhere. And something that's got to stop, you know. And hopefully TNA or any wrestling company don't come out with this BS politics, but that's the way it is. I hate it when people tell me that's the way life is. That's the way TNA is. Whatever their name is, I heard it from the name, so I don't know what their name right now, but... Hopefully, man, that company does well, or I hope another company like UWF or any company comes out because we need another company on TV. We do need another national TV company. A lot of people don't like TNA, but a lot of people love TNA. So I just hope for the best for TNA and the crew. The others, they can fuck themselves.
You've trained a lot of wrestlers of note. I'm curious your take on the progress of one Ezekiel Jackson in the WWE.
Yes, a lot of people don't know that there. I trained him, you know, but he's doing good. I'm so happy for him, you know. He's one of the biggest guys that we had in our school. I was really happy when Caval was in WWE and Ezekiel Jackson was in WWE. And I was like, man, that's awesome, man. Two people that came from nowhere. Who don't got a great, you know what I'm saying, who didn't went to college or graduate from Princeton, they still made it, you know. But I always tell people, man, always have a background, always finish school, you know. God, I don't know what's the deal with Ezekiel Jackson. I ain't spoke to him for like maybe a year or so. I did text him like a couple of months ago and just told him that I'm happy for you, just kick butt. And he is, man, he's tearing it up. A lot of people say that he's the next Ahmed Johnson. Hey, man, I'm a fan of Ahmed Johnson. I don't even know why they're saying that, but I think that he's going to be more aggressive than Ahmed Johnson. So this should be a very interesting look that he's going to have in the future in the WWE, and I hope they're going to give him a big push because he deserves it.
I believe you also trained Becky Bayless. What was your take on the cookie thing in TNA?
Well, the cookie thing, I mean, she does look like a cookie, you know what I'm saying? Like a girl from the Jersey Shore, tan,
yeah.
You know, that's the way she really is. But, you know, Biggie Bayless, she's a very underrated when it comes to the microphone, when it comes to the magic of the scene. She's one of those girls that should be on TV, you know. She's very hard when it comes to wrestling. She's not very athletic. But she is awesome when it comes to charisma, with the chemistry, with the fans. And she's one of those people that deserve to be on TV, who should be on TV. The same thing like Colt Cabana. I always say, why are you not on TV? You know, this guy, you can love him, you can hate him. You know, when I feud with him, I thought he's one of those lovable guys, man. But he turned to like an evil John Ritter, and he's great. Same thing with Biggie Bayless, you know. Biggie Bayless, she should be on TV. And I think good things are going to happen with her. Hopefully this character, Cookie, from the Jersey Shore, blows up. I don't know how far this Jersey Shore kind of scene is going to be popular. I think it's going to erase at the scene. But, you know, Biggie Bayless, she's awesome. She's real good, and she's one of those people deserve to be on TV.
Now, I've watched you in singles and tag team wrestling. Personally, I prefer you in tag team, mainly because of your size. Do you have a preference, and why?
You just said it, right?
I
love
told
that you, because of my size.
I told you, he says some fucked up shit every time.
Well, no, I just think Homicide is such a great tag team wrestler. I don't like you. Like, when you came to Ring of Honor in, you know, Louisville back in December, the match with Claudio Castagnoli, you were just so much smaller than him. It's like, my God, the size difference is just ridiculous here. You know, I just love you in tag teams. So.
Well, but the problem with singles, actually, I got no problem with singles. I love singles, too, but like you said it for yourself, because of my size, you know, I'm a 5'8", 20 pounds. I'm really small, but I can hit hard. And I'm one of those people. I was trained by Manny Fernandez, the Raging Bull, and he told me, you're a little guy. That means you got to hit hard. And I'm like, hit hard? What you mean, hit hard? And he was like, when you go out there, you got to be like Kevin Sullivan. Look at those tapes and look at Kevin Sullivan. I'm like, okay. And I studied Kevin Sullivan, Bud Sawyer, even Terry Funk. Even Terry Funk is like about 6'1", 6'2", but he's one of those little guys that wrestle these giants like Bruiser Brody, Abdullah the Butcher, and all those guys. And, you know, like I was saying, Kevin Sullivan, he's a bad mofo, man. He's one of the baddest guys in his business. And I love him, man. Like, he's one of those guys that make little guys like myself who will be like, okay, you're a big guy, but I'm telling you right now, don't sleep on me. I will still kick your ass. To me, I'm like Joe Pesci. I'm like Goodfellas Casino. You know, I'm the type of guy, like, if you're bigger than me, if I see you like a screwdriver, I'm going to stab you right in your toe. If it's a cop there, I'm still going to smack the hell out of you. Even though I go to jail and cry like a little bitch, but I'll still be laughing at you when I get out. You know, but I love tag team. You know, I grew up in a tag team scene, though.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Colt Cabana on his podcast several times has referred to you as, in real life, a nice, sweet Puerto Rican man. Do you feel like that kid is imitating him saying that?
Yeah, I mean, my kid, he loves him. My kid, I remember he's feuding. My kid at that time was 6 years old. He was like, do not hurt Colt Cabana. I'm like, let me tell you something. I'm the one got you in this world. I'll take you out. He always telling me, don't hurt him. But, yeah, I'm one of those coolest guys. I'm, whatever he says, sweet. I'm one of those guys, like, I get along with you. I like to drink with you. Let's have a good laugh. But when you, like, kind of fuck with me, then I turn to a demon. I like to get along with everybody. Even you're an annoying person, I will still have fun with you. But if you're one of those people who try to test my level, test my waters, then, you know, you did a mistake because I'm stupid like that. I become stupid when I get mad. I got this Latino heat. It's not those Eddie Guerrero thing, but it's a different term. But I'm the type of guy that I just want to get along with everybody. I respect everybody. You respect me, I respect you more. But when you fuck with me, then you're doing a mistake.
Yeah, you said you guys were in Australia or something, and you were just the nicest, sweetest man in the world. So.
I really think that's what they called Cabana. I was like, wow, this guy's really cool, man. Like, seriously,
yeah.
Because Even when I get drunk, you know, I become minus those guys like, I love you, man. Like, I don't even know you. I love you, man. You know, but me and Coco Better, we had a great tour in Australia. I think you really see my really good side, you know, and I respect the hell I cooked them. I respect everybody, man. I don't hate nobody, man. If I hate that person really screwed me over, and there's one person that screwed me over, and I really hate him to this day, you know what I'm saying? But the past is the past. I really don't care no more because I'm 34 years old. I don't want to gray hair and get older and bitter like these other guys are, but I'm real cool, man. I don't know about sweet, but I'm cool.
Well, have you got any trepidation about doing, like, the 187 homicide gang thing? Because I know your life isn't like that nowadays. And earlier in the show, we were discussing, like, the WWE doing an anti-bullying campaign now, you know, and how that relates to professional wrestling. Because in wrestling, you know, the heel's kind of a bully. Do you think your gang thing, you ever think about that? Well, God, somebody might think that, you know, I'm a cool guy because I'm do this kind of gangbang gimmick, or does that not really enter your mind any?
No, it's not in my mind, but I really, really thought about that for years already. Homicide, the name, it was like,
yeah.
I started in 93, and, you know, it was one of those, I had another character called myself the Land Terror. I was like a wannabe Sting Undertaker. It was so crappy. And, of course, me and my boy, we was watching Cops. Somebody was on a run for Homicide. So, basically, my boy was telling me, like, just be yourself. I was down with the gangs and being a troublemaker, but I also love wrestling. So, he was telling me, yo, just become yourself and put yourself Homicide. And I told him, I'm going to be doing family shows. I think that's not the right name to go out there and kids be saying 187. To this day, they're still doing that. I go up to them and I be like, do you know what Homicide means? Do you know what 187 means? And they're like,
yeah.
I don't know, but it sounds cool. So I'm like, okay then. But yeah, I always have a problem. I do want to change my name when I went to TNA. If I ever go to the WWE, I never want to bring the Homicide name, even though McMahon don't want the name, but I really don't want to bring that. I do understand with the family and Homicide feeds murder, stuff like that, you know. But I guess a lot of promos loved it. They liked the name. They loved the character. They just told me to just come with it. Don't worry about it. Like, when I went to TNA, I wanted to choose my name. And they're like, nope, don't do it. We like it. Just keep it and just come and let's do LEX. I'm like, okay. It was kind of a shocker because I got no problem being a very PG-13 when it comes to a name change, you know, because I'm a parent, so I do understand where other parents, where they're coming from. But that's why with my character, it's more of a hardcore adult base, you know. Like, when I go to a family show, I'm like, you know, I get a little bit uncomfortable if I see a six-year-old saying, Homicide, you know, and I'm like, wow, this little girl's talking about murder, you know, and I'm a parent myself, but I do represent, you know, people who's adults, who's a hardcore fan, you know. I do represent those people, you know. But, like, little kids and everything, God bless them. That's all I got to say.
Well, just one more question. I'll pass it back. This has been great talking to you, man. I really enjoy it. What were you thinking when you were at the top of that stupid-ass asylum, whatever the thing was called, on January 4th, 2010?
Oh, that Thunderdome, whatever the fuck it's called. It's like a milk
thing.
I feel like I was Mad Max for that bitch. I didn't even know, man.
What were you trying to do? Were you trying to get out the top and climb to the bottom? Is that what you had in your mind?
No, it was a little hole, and I got to get out, but I got a bad shoulder, man. And I remember Vince Russo, who was the writer at the time, told me, hey, practice. I was at the, like, Allen Iverson. I'm like, practice? Forget practice. I could do this. Man, I went up there. I was like, this is not cool, man. Not even Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris can climb over that cage, man. I got a bad shoulder. So it was pretty bad. It was one of those. And the thing that gets me, that it was the first live show. I was the first match. And this thing got happened. I don't know if God don't love me or Vince Russo's trying to, like, fuck me over. But it was one of those experiences that I just want to forget.
But you know what? It was, in all honesty, it was, like, real. And it was actually very compelling television. It was like a... somebody, like, watching a bug caught in a spider web. It was just something fascinating about it. I'm sure it wasn't for you, but the viewers, like, holy shit. This
yeah.
What's this guy going to do?
It was definitely different, but, Man, it is super hard, man. Like, people like Jay Lethal, Frank, Kaz, they told me, man, it's a shoot. You definitely got to get out the cage. And it's no base. Like I said, I got a bad shoulder. So when I was doing pull-ups, I was like, oh, man. Like, I felt like my arms was burning, and it was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I was like, fuck this. I already dropped 35 feet down. And, of course, Jeff Hardy came, and we did something. But I really think that was the beginning of Homicide is going down in TNA after that cage match. Yes, I really think that. Nobody want to tell me because a lot of people don't want to say the honest truth because nobody don't like the honesty, but I really think so that was the beginning of the end of my career in TNA. After that, when somebody say, oh, he screwed up, there's his chance, you know, and that's when everything was going down for me.
All right, thanks, man. Back to you, Larry. That's awesome. Thank you, man.
Hey, I was wondering, Homicide, what your status is with Dragon Gate. You know, I thought that was a curious match where you pulled Moxley on top of you after you beat the hell out of him and let him pin you. Are you still with them, or was that the end of your run there? What's the story there?
Well, right now, me and the staff of Dragon Gate and also Evolve, we did spoke. This is not the end of my career in those organizations, but I am taking a break with the Moxie thing. It was one of those, like, I don't care if I lose Owen. I just want to cut his tongue because he's been talking a lot of crap. That's why I showed the world that, yo, this victory, doesn't mean nothing to me. That's why I put... He's by the top of me, and he won the match. All I want to do is cut his tongue, and I almost did it. But there's a lot of bitch-ass people in that company that helped him out, you know. But that's another great company, Dragon Gate, and Evolve. Everybody got to check out. As right now, is my status is a big question mark. I would not say that I'm over with that company, but I don't know when I'm going to go back.
And you are continuing on with Ring of Honor, though. Is that right?
Yes. I'm doing something with Chris Nana and his bitch-ass crew. And this Saturday, the 21st, I'll be wrestling. I forgot his name. But he's part of the House of Truth. It's going to be a good match.
Michael Elgin?
Yes.
Okay.
That will be himself. He's one of the... Another future stars in this business, a big guy, very strong guy. I've been having the losing streak, but like I say, wrestling, you go through ups and downs. Right now, I'm going through my downs, and Chicago's one of my favorite cities. I'm going out there with a big man, so I hope he's ready because I know I am. And finally, I'm healed. I was hurt for 9 months. I finally got healed, so I hope he's ready.
All right. Well, congratulations, then. Glad you're healed, and glad to hear you say that about Chicago. That's my hometown, so I'm always happy to hear when somebody loves Chicago. So,
hey, man, are you a Cubs fan?
Yes, I am. Lifelong.
God damn, like, I feel really bad for you, brother. Yo, like, seriously, like, it's like I don't want to see the Yankees win the World Series. I want the Cubs to win because I know that all they're going to get retarded with the celebration.
Yeah, it does get depressing, man, I have to say.
Oh, man.
Hey, screw that. I'm a Brewers fan, so I got it even worse.
I love to be a Brewers. That's all I got to say.
Sir, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this show tonight. Thank you for
giving us the
time and talking with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. And good luck for your future, too, man. The comedy's going up, so let's make this money.
So we'll be looking for you in Urban Wrestling Federation. June 3 is the pay-per-view date. And, of course, Ring of Honor and other places. And, again, thank you for joining us. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, bro.
Sounds like quite a show tonight, guys.
Yeah. He does seem like a very sweet guy, doesn't he?
He actually, yeah. I enjoyed talking to him. I don't think you want to piss him off, though.
No.
Hey, Larry, just for shits and giggles, and nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to get anybody's hopes up, but me versus Doc Gayton, who would you actually pick?
You notice
Are you kidding?
You notice
no, I'm not kidding. Who would you pick?
I would pick Dr. Gayton. Mm-hmm. Easy. Easy.
Oh, easy. Oh, wow.
Easy.
Wow.
Okay. He's a strong motherfucker. I mean, you know.
He is, dude. I'm telling you, he could throw you. He will break you.
That's all right. Cue the robot lady. That's all right.
Yeah, cue the robot lady. You got your feelings hurt because Larry. You can't hide behind Larry. You can't hide behind Larry.
All right, we'll be back on no show next Monday. We'll be back May 31, folks. So tune in then.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.